Hello everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard one at a time until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood teacher and educator, a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. All right, this week we're starting off with a new quality area. We're doing element 2.1.1, wellbeing and comfort. It's part of quality area 2, children's health and safety, and it's the first element of standard 2.1, health. The description for this element is, each child's wellbeing and comfort is provided for, including appropriate opportunities to meet each child's need for sleep, rest, and relaxation. All right, so what's this one all about? This one's really about taking a holistic view, taking a step back and taking a big view about what children need during their time in the service with us. Really trying to think beyond those basic needs, such as, you know, food, water, and being safe from harm and security, those kind of things. We're really trying to think, well, that's, you know, the bare minimum. What can we do to really support children to have those really positive well-being and comfort outcomes? And it's important to remember that it'll be different for each child. So thinking about it in groups of children. So, you know, approaches that support all children, as well as thinking about individual approaches. But, you know, the first starting point for this is really thinking about what well-being and comfort might mean to different children. They mean different things for adults. You know, what makes me have a strong well-being and makes me feel comfortable will be very different than a lot of the people listening to this and a lot of the people you work with as well. We're really thinking about those routine times as well, particularly. We covered a bit about routines and transitions in quality area one. So we're really thinking about how we can manage those routine times, sleep, rest, and relaxation, as referred to in the description for this element. So we're really thinking about how those times can be as positive for children as possible and give them the stronger sense, of well-being and comfort. All right, so what can this element look like in practice? The first thing to think about is probably our environments, you know, our learning environments, our classrooms, and the kind of things we might see where, you know, this element, well-being and comfort is working well in centres. Are things where I describe where classrooms, they're active but they're settled, and this can be a really subtle distinction. So, you know, you wouldn't want to walk into a classroom and have it being dead quiet and everyone's got heads down. That isn't a positive classroom for children's learning. It should be dynamic and it should be, there should be lots of things going on. So I always use the term active but settled. You know there are different things going on, but children are comfortable where they are. They're engaged. They're not too stressed about what's going on. Or if they are, it's easily resolved and they trust the educators and the space to kind of help them manage. You would see children being able to know where to go if they need something. You know, at a fundamental level, if they're thirsty, they know they can go over to, you know, maybe a water station and get a drink of water. Services I see these days are really focusing on, having children being able to serve their own water from large containers and get glasses out, and really thinking about supporting children to take responsibility for that for themselves. So in classrooms where that well-being and comfort is being well planned for and well engaged with, you know, children will be able to find those things when they need them. And that can apply to anything, food as well, and rest. That when they need those things, they feel comfortable to go and get them, and they feel comfortable that they know they'll be supported and they know where to go. The other thing to think about is their opportunity for downtimes as well. So sleep, rest, in particular for different children, but, you know, not necessarily at specific routine times. It may just be that, you know, in the middle of the morning that there's a child or there's a group of children that just need somewhere to relax and have some downtime that's sort of catered for as well. One of the things I particularly look for in this area, this element, and it's something that's, I think it's a great tip full stop, and I don't think it's something we think about enough, is really having food and drink available at all times for children. This can be tricky. We operationally have to think about budgets and those kind of things, but what the you know, there's a lot of at least anecdotal, but you know, there's some research outside of early childhood around nutrition and children's behaviour, which says that a lot of issues and challenges that emerge in classrooms around children regulating their own behaviour is children are often really hungry or really thirsty, but because we often have really sort of specific times for those kind of things. You know, there may be a child that, you know, missed breakfast or didn't have enough breakfast or didn't have a good lunch the night before, and they can't wait until, you know, 11:45 or 12 or whenever we had lunch, or we can't wait till 10 for morning tea, and they're just really hungry, but they may not be comfortable or may not be able to articulate that. Really thinking about if that's something you're struggling with in your classroom, well-being and comfort, food is really important for that children. They're very energetic. They burn a lot of energy. They're always engaged emotionally, physically, mentally. If you're having that issue where you think children maybe don't have well-being, comfort, you're not sure why, check food and check water and make sure there's available, you know, little bits of fruit children can grab, those kind of things, grapes, you know, just something where, you know, we're checking the children are fed is a great way to look at their well-being and comfort. But opportunities in the environment for children to go and choose where they want to go and meet their needs, that's a great way of seeing that in practice. The other thing to think about is sort of rituals and routines. And I mentioned in Quality Area 1 that, you know, this is often referred to as critical rituals, where, you know, important parts of children's day are managed with a responsive educator. So really making sure those routine times are managed respectfully and positively, and children feel like they know what's happening and what they need to do if they need help, particularly babies. And we often neglect this sometimes because children don't communicate back to us verbally. So we may forget to explain to babies what's going on. Something we may do with toddlers and preschoolers is really talk to children about, oh, I'm going to help you wash your hands now. You know, make sure you put the soap on and do those kind of things. And I'm going to help you go to sleep. And I'm going to, you know, talk to you about that. Doing that with babies is really important as well. What supports children's well-being and comfort is that they feel comfortable. They get a sense they know what's happening. It may be that builds up over time, that they're familiar with particular routines and the way things happen in the room. But, you know, children change a lot throughout the year. So always reminding ourselves we need to always talk children through those experiences, particularly things that put children in a vulnerable position, like nappy changes and toileting. It's really important to do that. But also things for like sleep and meal times. The best thing we can do is talk children through those processes. Here's why they're happening. And develop a sense that children know when those things can happen. So that's sort of the environment and routines and rituals. The other thing is obviously, as with all things, the relationship developed between the educator and the child is so important. And it's important here that the best way to support children's well-being and comfort is knowing individual children. What do we know will support their well-being and comfort? What do we know they need in the program? What in the program and in the service? And that includes getting to know the family as well, building as many connections with the families as possible to manage those individual requirements. That was our last element we talked about, was information for families, which was sharing the program information with families. And this is, you know, this is about why that relationship's so important. It isn't just, you know, sharing a summative assessment or letting them know about the learning outcomes. Actually helping us to get to know the child. Families know their children the best, and families are really important to children. So if we invest that time in those relationships, children will have a stronger sense of well-being and comfort if they think we are engaged with and take seriously the people they take seriously and love in their lives. If we, you know, spend the time to get to know those important people, children will notice that, and that will improve their sense of, you know, comfort and well-being. It also means that we can help children and their families know what to expect in our classrooms if we're talking with them regularly about what happens. That's really important. There's also a space there about supporting children and families to understand what well-being and comfort means in spaces. And that means we need to understand it as well. So again, it's beyond those basic levels that children are safe and free from harm. We can talk with families about why, you know, nutrition and those kind of things are important, physical activity, the importance of play-based learning, and supporting children to feel safe and respected are really important things we could focus on in that space. All right, suggestions for nominated supervisors. My advice here, you know, my first point is there's kind of two things we need to focus on. The first thing we need to focus on is the general and then move to the specific. And the start of the year, as I record this and as it's being released, is actually a great time to think about this. So when I talk about going from the general to the specific, we need to get a general approach that will support most children. Most children have, come into us with a relatively stable background and are prepared to engage in that sense of supporting their own well-being and comfort alongside us. So we need to develop, working with team leaders as nominated supervisors, to develop classroom approaches that will support most children's well-being and comfort. And a lot of the, in this early stage of the year, that's about getting to know children, spending time with children and families, to develop a classroom layout and a flow of the day. Again, not saying at 9 o'clock we do this, at 9:45 we do this, at 10:30. It's about saying a flow of the day. We start maybe with family grouping, and then once everyone's settled, we'll move into this classroom and we'll focus on, this experience, and then we'll move indoor, outdoor, depending on the weather. The flow of the day is really important. Regularity and consistency, children knowing what to inspect, is really important, but making sure there's flexibility built in there as well. So that general approach that will support most children is really important. And then you move to the specific. Then you identify those children that, are outside that approach that supports most children. Who needs individual support? Who needs particular approaches to do particular things? That is either outside the approach, or outside the general approach, or just needs the general approach embedded in, in a longer way, or in a more intense way with particular children. So moving from the general to specific, starting with the general, as we get to know children, then moving to the specific is really important. And doing that with your team leaders, because at the end of the day, they're in the classrooms all day, every day, and they need to be embedding that as they go along. And then the other suggestion here would be about communicating the general approaches to well-being and comfort to families. And this is about particularly things like you want to be encouraging things like messy play and maybe water play. We're recording this in January where it's really hot, so water play would be a really important part. And making sure we're taking note of when children get particularly dirty or messy or wet, that we have processes and systems in place to support children to get changed and to remain clean and to feel, comfort as part of this element. It may be that families need a lot of discussion about why that's the case. There will be some families who, that kind of approach may not be appropriate for them at their home. But we want to talk about why that's important that we do that here. And that's about communicating those approaches to family. And that applies, that at an operational level, that means, making sure families understand why we need lots of spare clothes, understanding when and how food is served. Again, because families aren't there during the day, they may not understand the particular approaches we have to food. And they may just be hearing that, the child is coming home saying they were hungry, they didn't like the food. They may not know what's happening around there. And the communication of those approaches for well-being and comfort, including sleep, another big one that can, make everyone a bit stressed, particularly families. Communication is the best way to resolve that. Here's why we do what we do. Here's why the well-being and comfort is so important. It's not just about meeting the basic needs for survival. We really want to focus on children having strong well-being and feeling comfortable in this space. And the idea for the couple of ideas for the quality improvement plan here. The first goal I would put for this element would be that learning environments are all planned with a focus on well-being and comfort. Because there's lots of ways to implement that, but it's about saying the goal is, if we have a nursery, a toddler, a preschool room, or if we have six rooms, or even if we have in some centres nine. Each environment is taking a particular approach to supporting the well-being and comfort of children in that room, which come together to form, a center approach. And that's a really achievable goal. You can spend time with the team leaders. You can really give them the leadership of taking that space and giving them some fundamental things that maybe align with your philosophy about how we do that. And then I would be doing individual children's requirements for well-being and comfort are identified and supported. So that's really about moving from the general to the specific. So we've got team-based approaches and classroom-based approaches, then we're looking for those individual requirements, those particular children who just need a bit more or something a bit different or something a bit above and beyond. And that may be that we need to spend more time with the family, we need to invest more time to getting to know the children, but that's a really important part of ensuring that we're really meeting that requirement for all children. Most children will fit into a well-planned general approach to supporting a classroom, but there will always be those children who need particular individual approaches. All right, that's it. We've kickstarted Quality Area 2. So that's Element 1, Element 2.1.1. We'll be continuing with Element 2.1.2 next week. Thanks to everyone who is supporting the show. I can't believe we're already into the second quality area. We'll be done with all seven before too long. if you haven't had a chance to go back and listen to last week, we did an extra sort of overview episode of Quality Area 1, and I'll be doing that for the rest of the quality areas as well. But thank you very much for support. Until I'm back with you next week, it's goodbye from me.